Take your Bibles and let us stand the book of Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 37. Luke 9 and verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met them. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him. And he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day and what it means to us. And Lord, as we are thankful for the many blessings that you provide day by day and week by week and month by month, yea, even year by year, we thank you most of all for that priceless gift of salvation. Help us, Lord, this day to listen intently. Help us, Lord, to determine in our minds and in our hearts to serve you fully. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Title of our message today is The Powerless Disciples. The Powerless Disciples. The word disciple means a follower, a learner, a supporter, a witness. Are you a disciple of the Lord? But the word powerless means no strength, helpless, feeble, weak, impotent, clueless, in need of a charge, like needing new batteries, like the Energizer Bunny. But verse 37, and may I say, in your mind's eye, see this, as we think about what is happening, these events. And one of the nice things about the mind's eye or our imagination, we can ponder and think, well, this may be what it was like. Jesus has come down from what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. He's come down with Peter and James and John, and was met by a great number of people. We are not told how many that is. It could have been 50, it could have been 150, it could have been 500. But one of those that met him was a man with a demon-possessed son. Now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot be demon-possessed, but you can definitely be demon-influenced. You can be one who has the devil that is directing and wanting to take your life in a certain direction. Demon possessed. We live in a society that has drug abuse running at all-time high. Alcoholism, especially this time of year, running rampant. Rock music. You say, well, Pastor Paul, there's nothing wrong with rock music. Yes, there is. We find that it leads people in the wrong direction. Immorality is running rampant in our society, even to the point where people think living together before marriage, well, that is okay. Just because society accepts it doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus Christ accepts it. According to the Word of God, it is wrong. Pornography. Well, what can we say about it? On the internet, there are more hits per site on pornography than all the rest combined. You can go into many a grocery store or party store and you can find it. We find that there are many that are enslaved to pornography, to gambling, the lottery. It possesses people. It controls people. Behind it is greed. We find that theft and greed go hand in hand. But, you know, we think also of other things where we are influenced by demons. Anger, jealousy, bitterness. See, we in a church say, yes, preach against that demon drink. Preach against gambling. Well, I'm going to tell you that anger is just as bad. Jealousy, bitterness. And I've seen bitterness destroy families. I've seen bitterness destroy people. Bitterness. This man begs the Lord, calling him Master, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. May I say this, many a parent, maybe even in this room right now, says, Lord, please help my child. He or she has gotten in with the wrong friends in high school. There were people that they hung around with that took them in the wrong direction. Where's the mother? She may have been in the crowd. We're not told. Maybe she was at home. Maybe she had died. We're not told. But the father says, look on my son. We find in verses 39 and 40 a further explanation of the boy's condition. The demon takes him and causes him to cry out, be it physical or mental anguish. We find that he foams at the mouth. He causes him to hurt himself, bruising. And he says, and I asked your disciples to help, but they could not. May I say this then? At this moment, Peter, James, and John are glad they were up on the mount with Christ. The other nine had been confronted by this man with this son, and they could not do anything about it. They were powerless. If you would, keeping your place here in Luke, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 10 through 12. How is your spiritual condition today? For folks, we are in a battle. We are in a war spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle today. And all too many Christians are falling victim in the battle. Back in the book of Matthew, we find that Jesus says this, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Jesus is looking at the nine disciples and he's saying to them, how long do I have to put up with you guys? I've given you power. I've given you ability to take care of these things, and you are powerless. Later, the disciples would ask why they could not cast out the demon. And the book of Matthew tells us in Matthew 17, 20, because of your unbelief. And then he continues, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. In your bulletin, there is a question asked by a Matthew Bennett. Do you pray? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Verses 42-43, the demon, feeling the presence of deity, has one last act of defiance and throws the child down before Jesus sends the demon packing. He then delivers the child back to the father healed. And the people who were amazed at the power and the influence of Jesus. And then in verse 44, we find that Jesus once again tells them something that he's been telling them for a while, that the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. Powerless. Some thoughts by Matthew Bennett came across my desk the other day. And he gives 7 points to help in our spiritual growth. Now, I know this, that for some of you, you're going to turn me off right now. You don't mind listening a little bit and opening up your mind's eye and seeing Christ healing this demon-possessed child, but you really don't want to be told that we need to grow spiritually. And though I'll be using these 7 thoughts by Matt Bennett, I have read basically the same thoughts by any number of authors, but I'm giving him credit for these today. He begins his thoughts by quoting from 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 7, "Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Do you want to work hard at being a better Christian? I guess I should have let you know I would like a response. Do you want to be a better Christian? I mean, if you think that you can't get any better, that whatever I'm going to say is just going to be so much air because you have already reached the pinnacle of spiritual growth, then I would suggest you just leave right now. I would suggest you do. But for the rest of us, there are 7 thoughts that we need. I need them. You need them. We all need them if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Number one, we need to humble ourselves. Confessing our pride and acknowledging our dependence on God. Quickly, Isaiah 57, the book of Isaiah chapter 57. We need to humble ourselves. Over and over again in the Old Testament, we are told to humble ourselves. And folks, we need to humble ourselves before an almighty God. We need to remember that we serve an almighty God. We are not serving a fellow creature who is on our level. We are serving a God who is a creator, who is Lord of all the universe. Isaiah 57, verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." What does the Lord expect of us but to be humble and contrite? He resisteth the proud. One of the problems with America today is we have become proud. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord before he literally destroys us. Psalms and the 35th Psalm, if you would please. The 35th Psalm. And we'll look at verse 13. These disciples were powerless. And Jesus' response was, "Oh, faithless ones." Verse 13 of Psalm 35. "But as for me, when they were sick, and my clothing was sackcloth, I humbled my spirit, my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my own bosom. We need to be humble. Number two, we need to devote large amounts of time to praying fervently. Devote large amounts of time to praying fervently. In the first century, Christians prayed and engaged the scriptures daily. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel 9:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, night and day praying exceedingly. 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Prayer. One of the reasons that we're powerless is that we don't pray. J. Edward Orr states concerning prayer and revival, there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. Prayer. May I say this? We have prayer service tonight at 5:30. I think it's time that our church saw some revival. We need to come together in prayer. Number three, spending significant amounts of time in God's Word. The importance of a thorough knowledge of Scripture cannot be overestimated. It is absolutely essential for living a righteous life and attracting God's presence. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from us. We find in the book of Psalms 1 through 3, and let's turn to the book of Psalms. And if you'd like Psalms 1, it is my favorite psalm. You may have another one, and there are so many that we can look at, but Psalm 1 in verses 1 through 3. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Is the Bible of importance to you? Is it something that you read daily? Number four, being broken over our sins, repenting and submitting to the Lordship of Christ. Being broken over our sins, not trying to make excuses or blaming someone else or saying, well, you just don't understand. Unconfessed sin grieves the Holy Spirit. It blocks our experience of God's presence. It will bring chastening. Whereas repentance brings forgiveness, blessings, and the presence of God. May I say this? Praying without repentance is useless. Praying without repentance is useless. Jonah was released from his watery prison once he repented. If we are going to see power in our spiritual lives, we must be willing to repent. Number five, obeying the Lord moment by moment, practicing holiness. Oftentimes we fear the word holiness, but the Bible tells us that we are to be holy. God gives special attention to those that walk with him blamelessly over time. Enoch had the testimony that he walked with God. Abel, Noah, Abraham obeyed God. Obeying God does not guarantee a problem-free life. For Job was a man that feared God, was upright, and eschewed evil, and yet we know that he suffered. But may I say this, it is better to go through the fire or high waters with God than to live in peace without him. And may I say this, if you know Christ as your Savior, you should want him to be your guide, your constant companion, the one that you can call on without fear that he'll say, "Excuse me, who are you?" See, God loves us. And according to Hebrews 12:6, he will chasten us to bring us back to him. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I know I'm asking you to turn to a number of places of Scripture from the Old Testament to the New. But if you would please. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 17 and 18. See, the question is, do we want to be a powerful church for the Lord? Do we want to have powerful families? Do we want to have powerful individuals? Then we must be willing to draw close to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it first began at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" See, God will bring judgment upon those who have drifted from him, who have rebelled against him, who have really want nothing to do with him. Number six, steadfast and diligently seeking after his will. If I were to ask you to take the next 10 seconds and say, "Lord, may your will be done in my life," would you mean it? Or would you say, "Lord, this is what I want to do. Would you please get in step with me?" We need to be in step with him. Day after day, year after year, we must repeatedly ask, seek, and knock daily in prayer. To have the confidence that the Lord will hear our prayers, we must live righteously. I read to you from the book of James, the last chapter, verses 15 16, 17, and 18. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that they may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Have we diligently asked that the Lord's will be done in our lives? We cannot expect God to draw near us if we only draw close to him briefly and occasionally. The book of James, again, chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. "Do you think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Can you imagine what the Lord could do for us and through us if we committed even a year to seek the Lord's will? And number seven, and how many points did I say there were? Seven. You remember that, don't you? Number seven, gathering with others to seek Him. Seeking God wholeheartedly necessarily involves the practice of energetically seeking the face of God together. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst. Matthew Bennett's challenge is that we stop talking about seeking God and actually begin to do it intentionally. That we stop talking about it. That's one of the problems we have in America today, is we have too many Christians talking about Christianity, but they're not actually walking a Christian walk. Matthew Bennett's challenge is that we stop making excuses why we are not at prayer services. That we stop making excuses. That we stop making excuses why we are not in the house of God seeking and praising the God of the universe together. Nehemiah 4:6 says, "For the people had a mind to work." God wants to use us. Do we want to be used? In conclusion, Acts 2, verses 42 and 47. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation. 394, "I surrender all," 394. You've heard some thoughts that some would say are hard. Church attendance, praying, reading the Bible, asking for the Lord's will. Boy, I don't know that I want to do that. That may mean commitment. Well, that's what we need, is commitment. It's what we need, is to be committed to our Lord and Savior. May I say this, we're only here on earth for a short period of time. But we'll be in eternity for a long, long time. Hopefully we'll do what's right. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless the invitation time. And Lord, as we sing this song, "I Surrender All," Lord, may we only sing it if we mean it. Maybe this morning people, Lord, need to come and pray here at the altar, and we ask that the Spirit would convict hearts, touching people, pricking their conscience, making them realize of their need. Lord, may we be more concerned about people that are dying and going to hell than we are about shopping for Christmas gifts. May we be more concerned, Lord, about being faithful to you than we are in the scores of a football game. Lord, may we be more concerned in fellowship with believers than fellowship with the unbelievers. Lord, give us strength today to do right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.